Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, your local radio station, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, local minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Welcome to a mixture of music and chat, which is meant not only to entertain you, but also to change your life forever. Well, none of us have got an unholy half hour to waste, far less a whole lifetime. So in the next few minutes, I want to share with you the most important belief in my own life, and the core of all Christian belief ever. I don't know what you personally believe, but what I can say is this. It makes an awful lot of difference throughout our lives on planet Earth, and it makes an awful lot of difference to our eternal future, what we believe. Our beliefs shape our behaviour. Our beliefs have consequences. Our beliefs can make us happy or sad. Our beliefs are very important to ourselves and to other people around us. And our beliefs are important to God. He wants us to believe in Him and live for Him. So what is this most important belief of all beliefs that I've been hinting at? Well, it's this. Jesus is God. Notice how short and sweet that is. No big words. It's not complicated. But then, nor is it simple either. Nor is it quite understood, even by folk who consider themselves to be Christian or Christ ones. And often those who believe it and profess it don't live like it. So it needs a bit of explaining. Jesus is God. Here's Michael Card singing Emmanuel, a word taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 23, which means that the baby in the manger at Christmas is God with us.
A sign shall be given. A virgin will conceive, a human baby bearing undiminished deity. The glory of the nations, a light for all to see, and hope for all who will embrace His warm reality.
Who could stand against us?
of him who did not spare his son, but gave him for us all. On earth there is no power, there is no depth or height, could ever separate us from the love of God.
Jesus is God is an amazing claim. Christians believe that God, the one and only God, God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit God, he came down to earth from heaven and became human, the baby in the manger, Jesus. He did not stop being God, but he did start being human. He's the God-man, fully divine and fully human. No silly games, fully human. God in flesh and blood. The big word for it is incarnation. The invisible God made himself visible. St. Paul writes, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. People do find this hard to take in, quite understandably, for it's a big claim. The more we think about it, the more mind-boggling it gets. Almighty God became a helpless baby, gurgling in a manger. The infinite God squeezed down into a first century Palestinian stable, a Palestinian womb. The holy, perfect God rolled about in messy straw. The judge of all the earth became the man judged, the object of everybody else's considered verdict. The creator of heaven and earth became a newborn baby wetting his nappies. He, the great protector, provider, sustainer of the universe, needed feeding, changing and burping. He, the God of love and grace, needed a hug from his teenage mother. It goes on and on. Just think about it.
Yeah.
So what was God up to in coming to earth? For centuries beforehand, prophets had spelt out that the world was in a mess and that we all needed God to rescue us from ourselves. Even today, we know that in our own experience. We need God to come and help us, love us, forgive us, heal us, guide us, to be our champion, as this spring harvest song puts it. God lived on earth as Jesus of Nazareth, people gradually began to notice that there was something about this guy. He was different, unique, one-off. For instance, no one ever spoke like him. He spoke with authority. Other teachers said, "There is a law that," or "God says this or that," but he just spoke with his own authority. He even quoted God's laws and then went on to say, "But I say to you." Here's Michael Card singing about the mysterious Nazarene.
The Nazarene had come to live the life of every man, and he felt the fascination of the stars. And as he wandered through this weary world, he wondered and he wept, for there were so few who listened to his call. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. And the fact of his humanity was there for all to see, for he was unlike any other man, and yet so much like me. He could laugh with all the fullness of his heart. And those who hardly knew him, and those who knew him well, could feel the contradiction from the start. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. And the fact of his humanity was there for all to see, for he was unlike any other man, and yet so much like me. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. And the fact of his humanity was there for all to see, he was unlike any other man, and yet so much like me.
Jesus looked like just an ordinary man, but everyone could see that he was much more than that. He was fully human. He was tempted and tried. He did bleed. He sweated blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He could be angry, as with the Pharisees and the hypocrites, and when he cleansed the temple with its corrupt practices. He could laugh with the common people, and he could weep with them too. He wept at Lazarus's grave. But he could also command Lazarus to come out of his grave alive after 4 days. He told the wind and waves to stop, and with a word of command they obeyed. He healed the sick and cast out demons with authority. He told a paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." Only God can forgive sins. Yes, he was fully human, but he was also fully God. The God-man, the mediator with a foot in both camps. Jesus of Nazareth, but also Jesus of heaven. Here's Michael Card to sing again, "The Gentle Healer."
The gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and their darkness left to stay. But more than the blindness, he took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word that was all he had to say. And the one who had died just rose up straight away. The gentle healer came into our town today. Oh, he seems like just an ordinary man, with dirty feet and rough but gentle hands. But the words he says are hard to understand, and yet he seems like just an ordinary man. The gentle healer, he left our town today. I just looked around and found he'd gone away. Some folks from town have followed him, they say, that the gentle healer is the truth
the life, the way.
Everybody saw that Jesus was unique, but only some of them worshipped him. Others tried to kill him, and indeed succeeded. He was both worshipped and crucified. He still is today. But countless millions have over the centuries put their hand into the hand of the God-man from Galilee. They are proud to be called Christ ones, or Christians.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. Putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Every time I look into the holy book, I wanna tremble. When I read about the part where a carpenter cleared the temple. For the buyers and the sellers were no different fellows than what I profess to be. And it causes me pain to know I'm not the guy that I should be. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Mama taught me how to pray before I reached the age of 7. And when I'm down on my knees, that's when I'm close to heaven. Daddy lived his life with 2 kids and a wife. You do what you must do. But he showed me enough of what it takes to get you through. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
Hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
So why did God become a human being, knowing it was going to lead himself to a cross? As briefly as I can, let me explain. Human beings have always wronged God. There's always a huge rift between us sinners and him, the perfect one. God decided to heal the rift. Well, we could never reach up to him, but he could reach down to us. It's always the bigger party who has to make the first move. Lost sheep can't find shepherd, but the good shepherd can find the lost sheep. He had to be the God-man, the mediator, because only a human being, one of the wrongdoers, could say sorry, and only God, as the wronged party, could forgive. Only the wrongdoers can say sorry, and only the sinned against person can say, I forgive. A third party can't do these things. So God came as Jesus to reveal himself to us, to introduce himself. He came as Jesus to show up our sinfulness, to show us how much we hurt and crucify him daily. God came as Jesus to carry out his justice and punish sin. Then he gave us a fresh new start. All relationships benefit from honest naming and shaming, exposing faults and dealing with them, clearing the air, forgiving and forgetting and having a fresh start. The only problem was, no human being could survive God's justice and punishment. So God came as Jesus, as a man, as a human being, as one of us, our representative, our head, on our behalf, dying our death. He took our punishment for all our wrongdoing. He died for the sins of you and me and the world. God's justice was satisfied, the bill was paid, the air cleared, and the relationship restored. And as God, he could take it all and bounce back alive again. So here's Noel Richards singing, You Laid Aside Your Majesty.
Thank you.
Jesus is fully human and fully divine. Think about this. Jesus was born to a human mother, who as a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. He had an ordinary childhood, but it included debating theology with scholars at the age of 12. He was a joiner, who fixed people as well as chairs. He was baptized, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." He was tempted and tried, but he overcame every temptation. He hung about with the local lads. They called him Master and Lord. He was a bit of a rebel, but he was a rebel with a cause. He wept at Lazarus's tomb, but then he commanded Lazarus to come out of the tomb. He mixed with disreputable people, but they ended up worshipping him. He was hungry, but he could feed 5,000 people. He was thirsty, but he could promise a Samaritan woman she would never thirst again. He got into pickles, but he could calm the storm. He broke church laws, but he fulfilled the law of God. He had lots of enemies, but many people worshipped him as God. He didn't look like God, but he sure acted like him. He spoke in riddles. People said no one ever spoke like him. He speaks with authority. He did ordinary human activities, but he could also turn water into wine. He had crowds and friends desert him, but there were also people who were committed to him for the rest of their lives and died martyrs' deaths. When crucified, he really suffered, bled and died, just like any human being would. But then as God, he could rise again from the dead. He was the victim of hate, but he was not its victim. He returned love for hate, and he's won us over. Well, bye for now. Till the next time, I leave you now with Michael Card singing "Don't You Know That He Loves You."
Don't you know that he loves you? Don't.